Coming up on TMS, celebrities in space.
Apple stuff.
Canada is funky.
Microsoft and Sony say stuff, and we listened.
You too can eat a Krispy Kreme Sloppy Joe.
Dan Harmon is back on the community.
You're happy about that.
Yes, I am.
Jane Lynch wants a divorce.
Fitness geek.
Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream. Talent in the can, ladies and gentlemen. I always forget that one's short and doesn't really say much.
I love that one. That's the best one, especially the you know, like.
I always forget. Anyway, hey, everybody.
I want to imagine he's opening a Four Loko, but I'm sure it's like a Sprite or something.
I'm 100% sure that you're right about that. What are we doing? It's TMS. Hey, it's the morning stream. Everyone's a little tired today. I think you're probably tired too, but for different reasons than I am.
Oh, and even more different reasons. The dog was not cooperative last night with the dog had the squirts and had to be taken outside very frequently.
Well, I mean, is your dog is the kind of dog that will let you know at least that it's got to go out? Okay, good.
Yes.
Because some dogs will go and then run in the corner and just shmoop up the place.
The is what wakes us up. She comes next to the bed, gets right next to Tina's side of the bed. Heavy breathing, like, I really gotta go bad. Four times last night. Four times between 10:30 and 6 a.m.
All right, let's diagnose here a little bit. Worms, bad diet, some sort of dog bum flu. Like, what happened here?
I don't know. All ate right. something that she shouldn't have. Who knows?
My dog does that.
Yeah.
Ate a whole box of chocolates once.
Ooh.
Life is like a dog eating a box of chocolates. So she ate this whole, you know, because that can kill a dog, right?
Yeah,
ate this, I think I may have talked about it on the show, maybe not, but she ate this entire box of like the kind you buy somebody for a gift that's like in the heart shape.
Like a Whitman sampler?
Yeah, yes. Or like the See's candy sampler. Like that, right? So the whole thing, torn open, I come home, here's what I come home to, and we had just gotten new carpet that weekend. Just got it. Brand new, fresh carpet upstairs.
Okay.
You've seen it. Your feet have trod upon it.
I've stepped upon that carpet.
That is correct. So we get that carpet done. I come in the room and the first thing I see is this chocolate box on the floor for some reason, all torn to pieces and pretty much all eaten. And then I start to see the trail of tears and misery everywhere.
Did she at least look at the little card insert that shows an outline diagram of the chocolates in there and say, okay, well, this one's a peanut cluster. Right. And this one, oh, this is nougat. Forget that one.
Crappy little coconut one was just half eaten and put back. Right. No, that'd be great, though. She wasn't nearly that picky. She just wolfed it all down and then spent the next, I don't know, 12 hours yakking it up. We were seriously concerned that she was going to perish.
Yeah.
Because that kind of chocolate's not good. And so she finally stopped. But then 2 days straight of the most, it was really kind of sad. She'd sit in her little corner to sleep and she would just twitch and moan in her sleep. It was really sad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that sounds horrible.
She's fine now, but man, I had to clean up some.
Dreaming of gigantic pieces of chocolate chasing her through a field or something.
Yeah, and the thing is, that was kind of easy to clean up because when she'd yak them up, they'd come up in like fully formed like chocolate balls. Mm-hmm. So I just have to salty balls.
Yeah.
So I'd pick them up and throw them away, and life was good again. I don't know why I told that story. Hey, it's a new show. Good morning, everyone. And it's Tuesday, by the way, June 11th, 2013. Time is ticking away on the Nerdtacular clock. We are so ever close. to this thing freaking happening. I'm such a dumbass. By the way, Kim's mortified that she screwed that ticket up.
We
just got to get John to stay an extra night and everything will work out fine.
Exactly, yeah.
I can't imagine he'll turn that down.
No, exactly. An extra free night in Salt Lake City. And who knows? I mean, Dave Michael might, because I don't know if he's driving right away the next morning after everything ends. So.
I have no idea. I assume not.
Somebody to hang out with.
Yeah, there's always somebody. The Fletchers are around. I know that.
I'll be around. We're not leaving until Monday morning, too. Right. So
people are going to be around. I don't know what I'm doing. I think I'm going back Sunday. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're going to collapse in a big heap of a puddle of
chocolate
quivering flesh.
Hey, everyone. Let's do a show. I want to talk about some stuff. Things happened. Things occurred yesterday. Real quick, Apple got up and did their big hoo-ha. And I know we got plenty of Android listeners who don't care about this, but I'll mention it anyway. So Apple got up. They did a complete revamp, the Johnny Ive revamp of iOS and the new version of OS X, which has totally gotten away from all the animal stuff after all these years and is now called OS X Mavericks.
Yes, Maverick.
Mavericks, I think, isn't it?
No, I think just Maverick.
Hold on. I'm going to find this now.
Okay.
Because you're right, I think.
With an X at the end or with an S?
No, what it's Mavericks gonna... with an S.
What?
Yeah,
it's
there
Mavericks?
It is. Yeah, Apple releases developer preview of OS X Mavericks. Mavericks. So there you go.
Okay, I stand corrected.
That's what they call it, because we're a bunch of Mavericks. We're gonna fly by your flight tower with goose in the back seat.
If they don't call it ice cream sandwiches. Yeah, do you have that new? Do you have the new Android OS ice cream sandwiches?
Do you have Windows Windows 8s? You have Windows 8s,
right?
Windows Vistas, yeah. Windows Millenniums editions.
It absolutely should not be plural.
I completely agree.
I did not realize that. Yeah. Oh, you cannot be my wingman anytime.
This is why it's funny, because you blocked it out almost like a kid who sees a terrible clown and then pretends it never happened. It's like you closed your eyes and went, "Oh, this isn't happening." And,
right,
and
I guess
then,
so.
In your head, it was Maverick. Nope, it's Mavericks. Okay, remember that old Western on TV called Mavericks? Oh, it was
Mavericks.
Really good.
Yeah, was starring Brett Mavericks.
Yeah, Brett Mavericks.
Okay, so people are explaining, a lot of people in the tadpole are explaining that it's named after a beach in California. Mavericks.
That's true. It's true. It's all a big, it's a big wave and all that stuff. But I don't care.
It's
prefer.
Funny, now we're getting back to the Bondi days. Remember Bondi Blue?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Feels like a weird throwback. But the iOS 7 stuff looked really neat. I know you had a big argument with yourself all night with it. Do you want to briefly touch on all that? Like how did this is a great, here is a life lesson story for everyone out there, whoever's like dabbling in technology, you love your gadgets and stuff, and you go down a freaking rabbit hole.
I almost want to pull up the email I sent you with the description of everything that happened.
That was pretty awesome.
Because it was like such the perfect storm. So we raid at 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
to the only time zone that matters.
Yeah, we're World of Warcraft thinking, we're talking about here, folks.
Yes, and I'm thinking, all right, well, you know, I'm going to get a head start. It's 8:30 at night. I'm going to get a head start, jump in, update my any add-ons that I've got, and be on top of the game and be ready when everybody comes in.
Right.
So I hop downstairs and I launch Curse, and Curse says, "Hey, I'd love to update your add-ons, but I can't find your add-ons folder." And I forgot. Oh yeah, well I moved my add-ons and my interface folders to my Dropbox.
Oh yeah. Oh, so you could synchronize them across systems, right?
Exactly. Mm. And it's really cool. Like you can actually put an alias to those folders in your World of Warcraft folder, then they'll share them, and you can, you know, basically it'll just use the same the same information.
Right.
Well, apparently what I did is I moved an alias to the Dropbox folder and deleted the original folder.
Oh, whoops.
So I deleted my add-ons. Well, fortunately, I had a backup from when I had all the problems a few months ago.
Oh, right.
Nope, does not. It was not backing up my applications folder. World of Warcraft is the only thing that stores data in the applications folder. It's something you just restore. So that's all right. I've got my other computer where I copied those over. Uh-huh. Well, it's a MacBook Pro, and all of a sudden it's doing this mountain lion error that everybody's aware of, where the Wi-Fi doesn't turn on if it wakes from sleep the wrong way, and you can't. You have to go through some rigmarole to get things working. This is like, so all right, great. Well, so, okay. So I'll get those copied. I put them onto a USB drive and I start copying. Right. Well, I better jump into Ventrilo and let everybody know what's going on, why I'm running a little bit late. Mm. Well, I can't log into Ventrilo because the password got changed and nobody had updated my account in the AIE Umami system to give me the new password.
Oh, no.
It's like, okay, well, I'll text Scott. Oh, wait, I can't text Scott because my phone is installing the new iOS.
Yeah, he's got iOS beta 7. You got the beta because you got the developer account.
I get the developer account. So,
so
I'm
that
like,
thing's
you know
loading up because you feel- because you can't go one day. Like, I'm with you. I would have done the same thing.
I usually do, though. I usually wait. I usually am like, you know, I'm not going to jump on the bandwagon. But I was like, God, that is so pretty. And I just want to get my hands on it and start messing around with it now. And so I downloaded it, and it was friggin' restoring. Well, okay. Well, last thing I can do, I can log into WoW without my add-ons and let people know what's going on.
Right.
No, I can't because my authenticator is my iPhone 2. So I'm completely locked out of everything. I'm just sitting here. My only form of communication is the SYN message board on the forums to say, yeah, it's going to be another 5 minutes.
You're like having your own. This is like better than Hangover 2 and 3 combined. Like this is this is a better storyline than those things. Yes, right. Don't you hate that, though? That technology holes you get down? It's the worst.
It absolutely, yes, exactly. And it seems like everything's out to get you. Oh, you want to get your add-ons from your computer? No, sorry, your Wi-Fi is not going to work. Yep. Oh, would you like to?
This reminds me of the first time this ever happened to me. This is just a brief little thought, but back in like 92 or some early time, I got my first 386 and I didn't like how Windows 3.1 had all these files in this place. Like I thought, well, that's cluttered and ugly. I don't want all that stuff there. I'll just delete those. I'll just delete that whole folder full of files. Now this is before I had become savvy. All right.
This is before you had your tech program online or on the radio.
Exactly. And it quit working, obviously. Nothing would boot, nothing would work because I deleted all these
things.
Why
do I need something called system?
So you should have seen the floppy thing I did back and forth between that and my dad's PC and the nightmare that ensued. But you know what? It was a good experience. I learned from it. Much like you yesterday, I'm sure you've learned something from this.
Right? I have, yes. Don't F around with this stuff on raid night. a lot of stuff actually I'm learning. Dropbox, make sure you're not copying an alias of your add-ons. By the way, all my add-ons gone. So I'm actually at that kind of blissful state where it's like, you know what? I get to start over with my add-ons because they were getting a little unruly. And
yeah, you just to get the ones you really need.
Right. I had a ton of stuff in there that I didn't need. And it's like, why the heck do I have Omen? I don't need Omen.
I feel bad because I was supposed to play, or I meant to play, but then, so that Sony thing went long. I was on Twit until well after 9. Right. 9:30, and then that finally ended, and then I was hopped right in the car, went into town to meet up with John Funk and his wife, underscore Funk, you'll know him as, and he's the one that redesigned my website, and he'd done a bunch of stuff with the Spags, and he just made Veronica Belmont's site, and he's a totally cool dude. Anyway, they're traveling across the country, driving from Canada all over the place. They're heading to Vegas. And his comment to me was, man, Salt Lake City is huge. I went, you have no idea what big means. They come from a small place in Winnipeg, so everything seems big.
So they haven't seen Vegas either.
No,
so
never been.
They're seeing Salt Lake. Wow, talk about the training wheels before the bike.
Oh, yeah, big time. So they're going to get there, and he goes, well, I thought it was tiny, like a couple of streets. I'm like, that's how I think of Canada. How convenient. So anyway, so I went and did that. We didn't get home till like 12:30 or something in the morning.
Oh, wow.
And I still hadn't prepped any show stuff. So then I stayed up and prepped show crap till about 1:15. And that's why I'm tired. But you had an adventure. I had just boring stuff. So in a way, I kind of admire what your night went like. In a weird way. Anyway, Apple showed a bunch of stuff, and it all looked cool. And I think iOS 7 looks awesome. So I'm pretty stoked about it.
Yeah. Now that I've got it on here.
Yeah.
Oh, what did I sign? What can I talk about?
I'm sure you can say.
I think the fact that they've shown it, I can say that everything that they've shown works. I haven't gotten a phone call on this thing yet, but the 3D kind of thing.
That weird.
When you wiggle the screen around, that is kind of weird.
Really neat looking. Here, I'm going to call you. Let's test your phone. Okay,
let's see if this works. So you'll be the first phone call I've gotten.
Very first phone call. So.
Oh, you know what? I think I have Do Not Disturb turned on, so we'll see what happens.
All right, let's try it. Ibit. Okay, here we go. Calling Ibit Mobile.
Okay. All right.
All right, here we go. Just got a little ringer going here. Ah. Oh, shite. Did I screw that up? Nope.
Oh, yep, there it is.
Whoa, you've got that playing when I call? Are you serious? You've got starships. We built this city.
There's a big reason for that.
Okay. I'm all ears.
This is, and I've explained this to a couple of people, because what you do is, and I did this for the longest time, I'd like take my favorite songs. Oh, Our House by Madness. Yeah, I'm going to make a ringtone out of that. Ooh, Jane's Getting Serious by John Astley. I'm going to make a ringtone out of that. And then I started hearing those, and they'd come up and shuffle, like those songs would come up and shuffle in my iTunes.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God, I start hating this song now because I hear it all the time as my ringtone.
Right.
So what song can I pick that's the absolute that will, A, make me answer my phone as quickly as possible?
Right. It's a real motivator.
B, is something that I won't get, I won't be even, hate even more when it comes up.
All right. Good idea.
Plus that intro, you can actually edit. I've got it edited as a ringtone where it will infinite loop. Like,
oh wow.
It'll just keep doing that same, we built this.
Oh.
I've got it timed so that if I didn't answer that, it would just go on forever with that intro.
All right, that's a way better story than I expected. I thought it was just going to be, oh, I just thought of that song when I thought of you and I assigned it.
No, it's what I use for everything. I was at Comic-Con. I was in the room with the panel with Jerry Conway.
Yeah.
And my phone started ringing and playing that. And everybody in front of me and behind me is like, you know, people in front of me turning around like, yeah, that's your ringtone.
Like, I hope he likes that ironically, because yeah, that's
so
terrible.
If anyone wants that one for their iPhone, I'll sell it. I'll send you the, not sell, I'll send you.
Yes, I'll sell you this. I got a good deal on this
ringtone. The M4R or whatever it is, the ringtone.
I've got, this is my new text sound for you. Here it is right here. Okay. So when you text, this is what you get.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. That's from yesterday. I'm going to start using that from now on. All right. Well, what else? Geez, there was something else I'm going to mention. Oh, a couple quick things. I mentioned John Funk and his wife. Very nice people. He is a tall, skinny man, and his wife is adorable and very nice. And we had lemon ice at this place that just opened. It was kind of weird. That was open that late, which is... Yeah. Which is good. Okay, I wanted to make an announcement. The Extra Life comic, Prince, which I draw. I make that. I've been doing that for about 12 years or whatever it is now. You can go use it, see it on the Comic Chameleon app. Comic Chameleon.
You're going exactly where I was about to go with that. Yes.
It's a cool app. Now, if you haven't heard of it, this is where...
Come and go?
It's a come and go. It comes and goes. Freaking XKCD is on there. I can't think of online. There's a ton of comics everyone knows, web comics that are on there. So I'm on there now, and you can go download it for free, Comic Chameleon. They're going to add all the archives slowly over time. Right now, they'll start putting up the new stuff, and you're able to get it now. So if you have an iOS device, go get it. Quick email from Todd at Michigan, at Michigan. This is Todd at Michigan. Michigan. Would you like to come at Michigan? Nick does this when he went to D.C. on his little field trip. He calls it at D.C.
At D.C.?
Dad, I had so much fun at D.C. And it sounds weird to say it that way. And I told him that. I said, son, don't say that.
No, no interviews, no DC.
Hey, Space and Balls. Scott voiced his opinion about celebrities not deserving all the money. I totally agree. While society would go crazy without entertainment, there are plenty of things we could do to entertain ourselves without giving them all of our money, like humanity did before Hollywood existed. However, the rest of us have more necessary jobs. I'm a janitor, and things would go to shit, literally, without us janitors. Celebrities live in mansions, and I can barely afford to feed my family. Plus, they get to go to space. Not cool. 0 points in tennis. Score of zero in tennis. The show, though. Todd from Michigan.
Well done.
Now,
well
I want to,
Todd.
I want to just clarify something.
Okay, you get that, by the way. The score of zero in tennis. The show, though, right?
I don't get that.
That's love.
It is. Oh, yes. Love.
Yes.
Oh, that is really well done. Nice job on that. Okay. But I want to make something kind of clear here. I do not think, I'm not one of those people who says, I don't think that celebrity should have money. I should have the money. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not that. Sure. That is not how I feel about these things. My feeling is, I don't know why we get in, why we're so into people worship in the first place. It's not nothing about where the money will go where it goes because we put value on what we put value on. I'm talking more about the existential question of why do we put value on it?
Yeah.
Not because the thing is, whatever we put value on it, that is where the money goes. No matter where that, wherever that value is, the money will go there.
Yes.
I just, all I'm saying is, why do we value that? Like, why, you know, you could ask a simpler question. Why does Brian value a good cup of coffee in the morning? Why do I value, I don't know, a freaking bag of marshmallows on a Saturday night in front of the TV? Or whatever it is you're saying, you know, like whatever right. it is you value. Why do I value a good video game experience or story? That sort of thing. Well, those all are not hard to argue with. But the one that is like, why do we value thinking Brad Pitt's way cooler than anyone else? Or why do we think that, you know, the Kardashians deserve all the cash they're getting for what they do, you know, or maybe we don't. And if we don't, why are they still getting it? Like there's some interesting existential questions there. That's sure. all I'm saying.
No, I think that totally makes sense.
I'm not here saying we need to redistribute the wealth.
Obviously it has to do with, you know, the bidding kind of thing that goes along with that. Like,
right.
Oh, we want Brad Pitt for our movie. Oh, we're willing to give him X amount more. Oh, we'll give him X amount more. And that's kind of how
right.
these things get escalated.
And who runs Bartertown is my question. That's a good
Master
question.
Master runs Bartertown.
I got kind of excited yesterday. That Sony press conference, they showed which we're going to talk about in the news. But
oh, yeah. I can't wait to talk about that because I did not hear the twit thing. And I saw a picture of what this thing looks like, and that is all I know.
Yeah, it's pretty rad, I think, but what they did at the end will blow your mind. So we'll get to that here in a minute. What was I going to say? That it? That's all I was going to say. No, I was going to say something about the Sony thing. Oh no, they showed a Mad Max game, which kind of threw me for a loop, like a video game based on Mad Max. Yeah, looked kind of cool.
Yeah, dude, I'm excited about that.
Intriguing.
Yes. All right, we're going to talk about that in Sony.
Yeah, we got a little news coming up. Don't worry about that. All right, okay. We got Daryl. Let's do him. Let's do Daryl. He's got $2 left on the clock here.
That's plenty. I think we might worry around Thursday.
All right, we'll start getting concerned then. It is Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
The Campaign Roundtable, part video game book club, part game review show. Go to amove.tv/campaignroundtable. That's amove.tv/campaignroundtable. And check out the recent 3-part Bioshock Infinite episodes. Subscribe to The Campaign Roundtable on iTunes or at amove.tv.
Sounds good to me. Daryl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, it's weird. I was afraid you weren't going to be because I'll be getting an email notification. Skype, the new version of Skype, it immediately said, oh, and there it is. It did it. It popped up and said, as soon as I called you, it says, your call is about to end because you lack credit on your account.
Wow.
And then I looked at it and I said, oh, that's not good. But there you were. And I still had $2. So I just hit okay. And now I have $11.95 in the account. And I don't know. Oh. And I didn't have to sign anything or do anything. So that freaks me out slightly. They have that kind of control. I used to have to go through and manually sign in and do the PayPal thing and all that, but I don't know. Daryl, it's good to have you back. It's Star Trek time. Time for Star Trek. And the only thing that made me really sad about yesterday is yesterday was a bomb, busy, crazy day. And I never got a chance to watch a single little bit of Star Trek. And I feel like my day's not complete unless I get a little Trek in my life.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I like it.
Well, you got a little bit in that detergent commercial.
Oh, that's right. Daryl, did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was weird, right? Did you know that existed?
That was really weird. I've seen that before, yeah. I think it sounded like there was some more stuff added in, but yeah, that was essentially what I heard before.
Yeah, the Spock bit at the end may have been added. I'm not sure, because that did seem a little odd, and it didn't
that
really
part
fit.
Did, yeah.
But I loved how every time they'd show the Vulcan, see, they'd show her and she'd go, oh, my clothes are so dirty! And it would show him and go, bah, 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 and then it would cut away, oh, this is great! And then back to him, bah, 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 and they just restart it. So stupid.
Yeah.
Anyway, Daryl, it's good to be here with you and back to talk about Star Trek trivia time. With Daryl, the Trek nerd, in the Next Generation episode. By the way, Poker Week continues, all right?
Deal you in with another question.
That's right. In the Next Generation episode, The Outcast, There is another poker night on the Enterprise. One of the crew members suggests playing a variation of poker called Federation Day. This that's stupid. This variation makes twos, sixes, and aces wild cards. Which member of the crew suggests they play Federation Day? Is it A, Gordy LaForge, B, Dorlana Troy? I'm trying to do these wrong on purpose. C, Dr. Crusher, or D, Mills O'Brien. Mills O'Brien. I think he was a like an engineer type guy. I'm reading these like I've never seen Star Trek. It's kind of fun, to be honest.
Nice.
All right, so Federation Day, Geordi LaForge, Deanna Troi, Dr. Crusher, Miles O'Brien. While you think about your answer, I've got good news, at least for me and Brian, and that is this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Schnago has sent us a box of goodies, and in it there is contained one Ritter Sport Raspberry and Cranberry Yogurt Limited Edition Chocolate thing. Is that
wow. Wait a minute. This is a collector's item.
Raspberry and cranberry. Oh, that's a cranberry in there. All right.
Yeah, the...
You don't... That's typically not a fruit, like the actual fruit. You don't see those things together much because cranberries are hard and horrible if, unless you, you know, prepare them.
Unless you cook them, right?
Right. And raspberries, not so much. Did I ever tell you about the giant earwig I ate when I was eating a raspberry once?
No.
So you know the earwigs, right? They're little... I can't be the only one who's heard of an earwig, but they're
Yeah, no, I know what an earwig is. Yeah, like
they're like miniature versions. They're like miniature versions of the thing Khan put in Kirk in.
Yes. You have to think those even inspired that, perhaps. I don't know.
Yeah, totally.
But when I was younger, I remember getting a big batch of fresh out of somebody's garden. I almost said earwigs, but I mean raspberries, and we washed them and everything. Rinsed them off, put them on the table. Me and my Korean sisters are sitting around eating these things. It doesn't matter that they're Korean, but I say it anyway because I'm racist. And I pull up one, and I go to bite into it, and I bite into there, and I'm like, this one tastes funny. I look down, and there's the writhing lower half of an earwig.
Oh, my God.
It was horrid. To this day, I just can't, blah, 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 blah. So,
well, now you can be on Survivor and you'll do just fine.
No, because they make me eat a pig anus or something like that. Those are much, those are much. And by the way, for me to eat something that gross, I'd have to accidentally do it just like I did the earwig. So I'd have to go, oh, that's a pretty good burger. Can I have a bite? Okay, little does he know we've hidden a pig anus in his burger. That's how I would eat a pig anus. That's the only way. All right, so.
What does one of those look like? A big donut?
I don't know what pig anuses look like.
Yeah, probably.
Oh,
let's
no,
ask, we'll ask Seth Rogen. He'll know.
They're usually pig rectums is what they are.
Right.
So it's like the whole, like, it's like a tube. It's like their old poop tube.
It's a series of tubes.
All right. So in these are a little melty. You're right. Or they were. They're shaping funny.
Yeah. Misshapen.
Ooh, look at that. They're filled with strawberry goo. Let's do this.
Yes.
Mm. Ooh. How come it's crunchy?
Yeah, I noticed that.
It's like,
I don't know.
It's like a little sandy.
Like a little cookie in there, or a little,
Or a little sand.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I don't like the texture of sand.
It's Retson.
Really? Wow. That's pretty good. I love the flavor, but I'm not sure I like that crunch. It's a little
Now that I'm expecting the crunch, I don't mind it. It's a little bit of a shock, yeah.
I felt like I got a little dirt in my food. All right, well... What's the worst thing you ever ate by accident, Brian? Do you have a thing? I've got a great one.
Man, I can't remember anything.
Besides
my grandmother ate a gerbil treat once.
A gerbil treat?
Mm-hmm.
Well, like what, these little nubbly things they eat?
Yeah, little hearts gerbil chocolate.
What? It's a chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
And she ate? Why did
Sorry,
she
I had
eat
a
it?
Mouthful of Ritter there. Well, she saw it on the table.
What are you,
she didn't
what are
see
you,
that there was a big picture of a gerbil on the box.
You missed my really inappropriate joke that I
say
just
it one
made.
More time.
I don't know if I even should say it. It's kind of terrible what I just said. You said, I'm sorry I couldn't talk out a mouthful of Ritter. And I said, are you Chrissy or Janet? That was a terrible, terrible. Look, I don't even want to take responsibility for that. Somebody take me out back and shoot me. All right.
Wow.
Sorry. She ate that thing.
Full of the dinner.
And when did she know? When did she know she had et said?
It wasn't until after she'd consumed an entire one. We said, "You just that was a gerbil chocolate you just ate."
She said, "That's it. I'm out." And she went and ran in a big wheel. quite a long time.
I'm sure. Who knows? Those things look like they probably taste pretty close to regular chocolate.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know.
Well, like dog. It's like dog food. It's not going to hurt you.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Don't eat too much of it. But the worst thing I ever ate.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever eaten anything horrible.
Worst thing I ever ate was totally by accident, and I didn't quite eat it. But I was. Did I tell you about this? I was riding my bike across the neighbor's lawn in the rain, and I was like 8 or 9 years old, and it was raining really, really hard. And I'm just trucking through her yard fast as I can on my BMX bike. And it was a dirt bike, right? And apparently, I got my mouth open. I'm going, and my tire apparently smacked right into a big dog turd. And that dog turd stuck to my wheel and went flip, 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 flip on the tire. And then a piece of it went fling up right up into the roof of my mouth while I'm gaping my mouth open. And I went, and I swerved and turned the wheel into itself and fell head first into this lady's bushes and then gagged for like 10 hours.
Oh my God.
Worst day of my life. Daryl, do you ever eat anything weird?
Ooh, not like that.
That kind of tops it. Oh, yeah. So to this day, it is so vivid a memory. I don't really have that many memories of being that age, but that is just so vivid to me. I can still feel the rain. I can smell what the air smelled like. I can tell you how, like, who was with me. I know what people were around. Like, it was the worst thing. Ugh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, bad, bad. But I picture Daryl like, sitting around eating, like, raw spaghetti, like, uncooked spaghetti or something.
Ew.
I don't know why.
I've had raw spaghetti before. I mean, that's, as a kid, it's like, yeah,
what's okay, in the fridge?
Right, exactly.
Nothing. Okay, well, I have this raw spaghetti. What do you call it, raw spaghetti? Just uncooked spaghetti, yeah?
Yeah, uncooked spaghetti, sure.
Yeah, sure. We used to go, if my mom grounded us, like if she was mad at us and we were starving and she wouldn't let me eat or something, like, get out of the kitchen, you guys are busted for something. My Korean brother and I would go, again, it doesn't matter that he's Korean. Just saying these things. We would go outside in the backyard into what we called the rock garden, but it was like a kind of more of an ornamental kind of garden with rocks and trees and, you know, weird plants and things that my mom curated. And in that garden, she grew little patches of, not onions, but chives. You know cut up chives or whatever?
Green, yep.
Mm-hmm. We go out there and just gorge on the chives out of the dirt, right out of the dirt. Because that was the only way we... I mean, it's not like we were starving. We were just a-holes, and we were hungry. We'd also catch snakes out there. And my brother would cook... he would cook grasshoppers and eat those. But that is because he's Korean and was... In his orphanage, that was a normal thing to eat.
Like toaster oven or grill?
Microwave. Griddle? And live, too. So he'd put like he'd take a baggie, a Ziploc bag full of like 5 or 6 of these grasshoppers, put them in the thing, and they would hop around inside the bag until they would hop no more, and then he would eat them.
Oh, my God.
And let me tell you, my brother was weird. Let me tell you one other thing he did. The same garden, one time, he's out there trying to catch bees with his bare hand.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why he was doing this. Again, cultural maybe, but he was catching bees with his bare hand. Oh, no, what it was is he had a plastic bag over his hand, and he would catch the bees, and then I don't know what he did with them. Oh, he'd take the stingers out. Which is kind of cruel, because that kills them, basically, right?
Well, isn't he about to kill them, though, by putting them in the microwave or something?
It's a good point. But he, I just don't want more of these tree lovers to call me and say, "Oh, what's with the bees?" So one of these bees got under the bag, and it stung him on the meat of your... Okay, so the side of your palm that is the side of your pinky, that meat part there.
Yes.
He got stung there, and I was like, and this is what he did. He goes, "Ow!" Kind of in his accent, because I'm racist, and he takes the bag off, and it's starting to swell up. Now, most of us would go in the kitchen, run some water on it, get a Band-Aid, maybe get some stuff, something, right?
Yeah.
Not my brother. He goes and finds the nearest brick wall. And proceeds to grind his hand on the brick wall until the stinger's out.
Oh, my God.
So he turned his hand into bloody hamburger just to get that stinger off his hand and looked at me as if that's the way you do it. I have so many Korean brother stories I could tell that I never tell. I should tell it sometimes. He doesn't care. He's a goofball. He's Bing Pong, guys. That's who he is. All right.
Crazy. How did we get down this?
I don't know how we got down this trail, but Daryl's probably got a birthday. So, Daryl, let's make the people wait no longer. Who's having a birthday?
Well, that would be Vijay Suzuki. He is 26 today. He's just a little baby. He was the red shirt slash mechanic on in Into Darkness.
Oh, the new one. Was he was he one of the red shirts that were kind of prominent when they were taking the trip to the Klingon planet? Remember that part?
I'm not sure where he was in there.
I looked at those guys and went, you guys are dead. You guys are so dead. But they lived, I think. Didn't they live? Or did they die? I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I felt like they were going for a joke there, and then they never paid off. Like, it never...
Yeah.
Never happened. Well, good for him. 20, that's a good, ripe young age to be a Star Trek extra, in my opinion.
It must be a fairly common name, because when you look for Vijay Suzuki in Google Images, you get a bunch of pictures that definitely aren't all the same person.
He was my favorite MTV host, Vijay Suzuki. Remember
Vijay
him?
Suzuki, yes.
It's Vijay Suzuki.
That would be a great Vijay name, right?
Yep, totally would be. All right. good stuff. Daryl, back to this. I have talked way too much about bees and food and things.
Bees.
Geordi LaForge, Deanna Troi, Dr. Crusher, Miles O'Brien were the ones. Which one of these were the ones that suggested they play Federation Day rules of poker? It's Federation
Day. What season was this?
Probably that last one that we all hate. I don't
know. Sounds like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Outcast,
that was a rough season, except for the last episode was fantastic. Mm-hmm. The rest of it was mostly caveman Riker flipping you off.
17th episode of the 5th season.
Oh, all right. Well, they were getting there.
Yeah, that was getting there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it could be anybody. Crusher. You mean Dr. Crusher?
Yes.
Because the other guy wasn't there by then.
There was no... Wesley was off to Federation, or he was in jail with Commander Paris or something like that, whatever was going on there. Everyone remember that when he was having a trial and he had lied to protect that? Yeah. That was Paris. He wasn't playing Paris. Right? But yes, exactly. But it wasn't Paris the character, but it was Paris the actor, right? The guy that plays Paris.
Yes.
I think originally it was supposed to continue.
We know how these things work, Scott. We know that they're actors.
But I remember feeling like they should have done that. Like, Daryl, you're saying they almost did. I wish they would have.
Yeah. Well, in my mind, they did. I just ignore whatever was before.
Daryl's got his own continuity. In my mind, Rene Auberjonois is still the guy from Benson. He's just got weird makeup on.
Benson.
Same with Neelix.
Yeah.
I'm going to go shapeshift in the corner now.
I got to go to my liquid state every once in a while. Benson. All right. Sorry. What? Okay, yeah. So your answer. Who do you think? Geordi, Deanna, Crusher, O'Brien.
Okay. Well, I'm eliminating things here. And I started with Crusher, so I guess that means I have to eliminate her. So let's do that.
All right.
There, she's eliminated.
She's out.
Geordi. So what was the name of this kind of poker? Oh, Federation.
Federation Day.
What a stupid name.
It is so stupid. It's so even the name, even if it wasn't for poker, it'd be dumb. Mm-hmm. We're celebrating Federation Day. Bring your fireworks, a bucket of chicken, and your Aunt Veru. Stupid.
Federation Day rules.
I'm going to cross out. Yeah, let's see.
I got to do the short. I got to do the show tired more often. Some of the stupidest things
way
we
better.
Some of the stupidest things we do come out of tired. Yeah.
Just stay up all night and do one.
I guess
we start the morning stream at 4 a.m.
Oh, dude! like an actual local radio morning show.
Ugh. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Sounds terrible.
Now, who else should I cross out here?
So you've taken out Crusher, kind of like Picard in the last season.
You got LaForge, Troi, and O'Brien left.
You got LaForge, Troi, O'Brien, and that's it.
Well, because this is nearing the end of the 5th season, I'm going to pick the one that it shouldn't be. I don't think Troi would care or give a rat's butt about what rules they would use, so... I'm going to pick Troi.
You're going to say
it's
Troi?
The opposite.
Because it's the opposite of what you think it should be?
Yeah.
Bunglers.
Bunglers!
All right, let's do it. Let's find out. Judges, is it Troi?
Congratulations!
She's lucky.
You're a winner!
She suggests they play Federation Day. Federation was founded in 2161. The numbers and the date represent the wild cards. Worf objects to this variation, saying it is a woman's game. Here's a clip of that happening, all right? All right.
All right. This hand...
the game is Federation Day.
What is that?
Well, the Federation was founded in 2161, so twos, sixes, and aces are wild.
That is a woman's game.
Oh, why is that?
All those wild cards, they support a weak hand. A man's game has no wild cards.
Let me get this straight. You're saying it's a woman's game because women are weak and need more help?
Yes.
And just this afternoon, I was insisting to one of the Genii that those attitudes were but a distant memory.
Look at us tackling the social mores of today. Fantastic. There you go. Daryl, good job. Congratulations.
Whoever has the best five of a kind wins.
This is a woman's game. Speaking of women's games, you can listen to This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com each and every week. It's Star Trek related, so you probably want to check it out if you're a fan at all. Also, follow Daryl on Twitter at TheTrekNerd. Daryl, do you have a quote?
Yes, and it is this.
All right.
I have never understood the female capacity to avoid a direct answer to any question.
Oh, who is being sexist now?
Data?
Okay, you say Data, I say... it seems too easy, but I'll just say Worf since we're on the Worf train here.
And you're also on a losing train. It was Spock.
Damn it, Spock. Really? Ah, you yes. Sexist, green-blooded bastard. Jeez. It's the news.
It's the news, and it's brought to you by the Friends, what is it called? The Best Friends t-shirt at /loop.com.
I'm glad you're filling something in here because I totally left a blank, didn't I?
The Best Pals t-shirt.
Best Pals t-shirt.
/loot.com. It's got your Han Solo. It's got your Chewbacca.
Yeah.
And they're drawn by Carter.
Yeah, my daughter.
In loving fashion. Really,
second,
really cool t-shirt.
Second highest selling shirt on the store, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Guess what number one is? Guess what? Guess what?
The Love the Show, though?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. Our shirt for the show. I looked down as if I was wearing it, and I'm not. very good stuff. Go check it out. That's awesome. And she is more talented at 16 than I was in my 20s. She's killing me.
That's awesome.
That girl. Microsoft and Sony do their big business yesterday at E3. Both had big conferences at 11 o'clock in the a.m. Mountain Time Zone, we heard from Microsoft. And at 7 p.m. Mountain, Sony got to take the stage. And it was an interesting day, Brian. I watched both of these conferences in full. Mm-hmm. The only stuff I really missed yesterday were the EA and the Ubisoft and all the little kind of extra publisher ones. So I didn't really hear much from them. But the Microsoft one, I mean, it was good. They had... showed some really great games. They showed it was very game focused, almost entirely game focused, which is what you want, right?
Yeah. I mean, they focused a lot on the console at that event they had a couple weeks ago. So
and they clarified how some things work, like online all the time. It checks every 24 hours to see if you have a connection, and if you don't, it won't let you play. You cannot trade in games, at least not in the traditional way. There are no used games. If I had a game on my Xbox One and I said, "Hey, Brian, I'm done with this. You should totally play this," and I hand it to you, you cannot play it.
Oh, that stinks. So I don't like that.
There's some weird anti-whatever. But part of the collective gaming culture was like, well, this is sort of the way things are going. So are we ready now? Okay, fine. We'll just get ready for this. So then Sony gets on stage. Mm-hmm. Oh, and that's the other thing is they announced a price, $499 for the Microsoft Xbox One. Okay.
Okay.
$499. That's a pretty steep. That's $500. That's half a grand. It's a little high. And you still need live. You still need, you know, there's other stuff going
right.
on there. So that's that.
That's a lot.
But it didn't, you know, I wasn't like, oh, new console at $500. How do you do that? You know, like it seemed in line, right? With kind of, I mean, Sony, remember when the PS3 launched at like 600 or 700 or whatever it was? It was some crazy number. 360 was originally $499, I think. So this isn't unusual. This isn't crazy for that to be that price.
No.
Sony gets on stage, shows a ton of great looking games, all stuff I'm interested in. Awesome. Great focus on indie. Just great. Jack Trenton looking like a mobster is always out there going, yeah, we got some great stuff to show you. You want me? I should rub him out. You know, that kind of stuff. He's great.
Right.
They're doing their thing, and I'm doing the commentary over there on Twit. And I came into it like, they're going to probably show more of their movie strategy stuff. And they showed a little of that. But I thought, well, we're kind of done with games, right? They're not going to show much. I was kind of wrong on that point. They showed a ton of games. But what really blew everybody away is toward the end, everyone's expecting 500 again or something like that, some parity number. $399, Brian.
Right.
$100 less.
With a 500 gigabyte hard drive.
Yeah, big drive. And even if they made that decision today based on what Microsoft did, pretty stealthy move right there on the price alone. But then Jack Trenton in his freaking mobster suit gets up and goes, no online connection connectivity required. You're not required to be online
to
use the console. Mm-hmm. Everyone roaring in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure. Yep.
And then he goes, sharing games or, selling them at retail. We believe that you bought a thing that you own and you should be able to use it how you want to. Absolutely no restrictions. So these were shots at Microsoft, but also they were listening to what people want.
Yes.
So somebody said it really well online. I think it was Jeff Cannata said Microsoft was dictating the future of console play. Sony was listening to the future of console play, and they were listening to what players wanted. So instead of dictating to players, they were listening to players. And I think that is key, and they may have just sewn up this generation if they play the rest of their cards right. Because on hardware-wise, pretty much parity across the board. There's no huge advantage. If anything, Sony has an advantage because they're using that better RAM in there that everyone's freaking out about. But in the end, that stuff's going to be kind of, third-party games are going to look the same and all that sort of stuff. But they showed, I think, better and more interesting exclusives. Mm-hmm. And all of this very consumer-friendly stuff that everyone's pissed at Microsoft about, that was really important, I think, to a lot of players.
I looked at that Mad Max trailer that you mentioned. Yeah. I mean, that's gorgeous.
It looks great.
I hear there's an Infamous sequel.
Infamous New Sun or Brand
Second Sun.
Second Sun, that
looks
freaking awesome.
That looks great. And I got to say, I mean, it's funny how both Microsoft and Sony decided to go with more of a square. I mean, Sony's has obviously got a little bit of a skew to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They showed the hardware. I forgot about that. Yeah.
But it is something you could put another item on. You could put your TiVo on top of it.
Yeah. Aren't you excited about this? You don't have to
stack them
weird or whatever.
Yeah, I do like that. I kind of like the weird little oblong shape. But I mean, obviously, the biggest thing that would make me, and I'm really close. I've got the pre-order page up on Amazon right now.
I know.
I'm
did this
really
yesterday.
Close
I hovered on it for hours.
Clicking on it. Yeah.
I hovered on it for hours. But here's the thing for me. Like, I want a new console this year. I'm not going to get both. I never do when they first come out. Mm-hmm. And if you're asking me which way I'm going, I'm buying a Sony PlayStation 4. Why?
Yeah.
Because of all those things I mentioned before, and I'm going to save $100. So that means I get a controller and a game in there for less on the whole than I was going to pay for a Xbox One with one controller and all these limitations. And quite frankly, exclusives I don't care that much about. And there seems to be a continued push from Microsoft of dude bro games. It's dude bro, dude bro, dude bro.
Right.
And the Sony one had a lot of eclectic stuff in there. Like a lot of, and that's what I've always liked about their effort. And I just feel like they're interested in more than just the next Call of Duty. They're interested in unique, weird experiences that I can't get anywhere else. So it's, to me, it's easy right now. Now, we'll see how the end of E3 goes. We'll see what Microsoft does to respond to any of this stuff. I mean, we'll see. But that was they pulled the rug out bad on those guys.
Now, did Sony talk about a release date? I'm guessing it's going to have to come out before Christmas.
They said holiday season. My guess is that's before Black Friday.
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, we know Sony, what did Microsoft say? September something? Or, no, November? I forget.
I can't remember either.
I guarantee they're going to be close. It's going to be like, this is some weird retail jumping around. Like, they're going to have to, this is an unprecedented thing because most of the time, consoles never launch the same time of year, ever. To have this happen like this, this is just.
Yeah, I remember the PS1 was $999.
Yep. I do remember that. Do you remember Mortal Monday for Mortal Kombat when that came out?
I don't, but that was I picked up Battle Arena to Shinden and Ridge Racer with
Yep, I did too. Same PS2. Two games, to Shinden and that, and then I think I may have picked up that weird ESPN Extreme Sports thing.
Oh yes, I did get that one a little bit later with the where you're skateboarding and whacking people with a chain as you go by them like Road Rage.
Yep, I waited in line at 5:30 in the morning for all that business.
Wow.
Yep, local software, etc. It's good times.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, I can promise you this. Over the next couple of years, I'll end up with both. But I know mm-hmm. I know where I'm starting. So.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'm certainly not buying both this holiday season. So. Yeah.
PS4, it seems like an easy pick, though. I mean, that, mm-hmm. saving that $100 is a huge deal. This is so much more consumer friendly. One thing people should know, though, this is one thing kind of slipped under the radar. And I think PlayStation Plus turned out to be a really valuable thing. I think that is an awesome service. All the free games you get, all the opportunities you get to do cool stuff with that thing is great. But they kind of slipped it under the radar after all of this, like, you don't need a connection and you can lend it to your friends. Mm-hmm. And they're getting everyone excited and they go, and PlayStation Plus is awesome. And to play multiplayer, you got to have it.
Right. So, oh, yeah. That was a little. Yeah.
Just kind of snuck it in there.
Do we know? Will it play older games?
So the other thing they mentioned. So that Gaikai service they purchased, which nobody was really sure how they were going to position that. The last time they talked about the PS4, they said, "Oh, well, Gaikai is going to help us let you download games in the background and start playing them before they're even done." Right.
Right. Right.
So that seemed like, oh, well, that's what you're going to use the service for. Yesterday they said that will also be there and available to play. The vast library of existing Sony games, PS3, and whatever. Now, the question is, mm-hmm. if you own one of those experiences and you want to play it, are you going to get to play it without having to buy it again? And this wasn't answered on stage. But it's a kind. It's at least it's a handoff. It's a concession in the whole backwards compatibility question. And I think I'm okay with it. It's better than nothing. You know, like if I still want to go and if I want to get a copy of Journey and play it, I can. The question is, will I have to buy it twice? I don't know.
Yeah, God, I hope not.
I hope not too. That would be really cool. It'd be really cool if you could.
But that's what they kind of did with the UMDs, right? With the Vita. It's like, all right, well, yeah, we're selling you all these great PSP games. You might have the UMDs for them, but guess what? You can't use them with this anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true. And those are, I mean, I feel like they're going to have to answer that before too long because people are going to want to know. I mean, the backwards compatibility thing's weird anyway. Everybody says they want it, but about a year after consoles are out, nobody gives two shits anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it's expensive to put that in there. This is a neat way of doing it, but it's kind of a nightmare about who owns what and how do you know you own it and all that. So I don't know.
Right.
We'll find out.
Right.
But it's exciting. I love this year. This year's crazy. Yeah, just the weirdest year in games. I just love it. And it's not just this. It's so many other things going on. It's what Steam is doing. It's what portables are trying to do to survive against iOS and Android. It's what, you know, the casual market means to the overall market and things like that. It's just fascinating to me. So we'll see how it goes the rest of the year. All right, real
quick. By the way, a super quick correction here. The apparently $99.99 was the Dreamcast release date, not the PS1.
I went to that one, too. It's all a blur.
Yes. Did you get Seaman for that one?
I got
saying very carefully.
I got Seaman. And I got what was the other big release? Soul Calibur that day.
Soul Calibur. And there was what was the Choo-Choo Rocket?
Choo-Choo Rocket. Choo-Choo Rocket. I think that came later though. I don't think that was launch, yeah.
By the way, yeah, so PS1 came out July 7th, 2000, which I could have sworn it was $99.99. I thought that was the deal, but
yeah, they all bleed together.
Dreamcast.
I remember Mortal Monday. I remember Sonic Saturday,
mm-hmm.
where they had it. Sonic 3 came out on a Saturday. What was the 11-11-11 game?
Oh, that was the PS1, the one called PS1. I'm sorry. December 3rd, 1994 was the original PlayStation 1.
Oh, right.
I'm sorry. Say that again. What was?
I don't remember. What was I saying?
Were you saying Mortal Monday?
Monday something. I don't remember.
You were asking what day another one came out? Oh, well. All right. Let's get to the next
story. All right. More importantly, though, here's the Choo-Choo Rocket commercial. Just check this out.
Dreamcast!
Oh, I want to play that again now.
I love Choo Choo Rocket.
I think they have that one for the PS1. I think they released, or not, I'm sorry, the iOS.
Yeah, I have it on the iPad.
Yeah.
You're correct about that. It's pretty good. It's still pretty good. It's hard, but it's good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Krispy Kreme Sloppy Joe can be yours. Debuts at the San Diego County Fair. Fast on the heels of Dunkin' Donuts' new glazed donut breakfast sandwich, which has gotten national rollout. Another savory sweet creation is turning heads on Saturday. Chef Charlie Boghossen. Sounds like that new particle they found.
Bogosian.
Bogosian. All right.
Yeah.
the Bogosian particle, you know. of Chicken Charlie's in Del Mar, California. Chicken Charlie's, that's awesome. Unveiled a Sloppy Joe sandwich made it with a Krispy Kreme donut. The dish, which features meat, cheddar cheese, and two halves of a giant glazed donut, debuted at this county fair. Your stomach will thank you, reads the eatery's Facebook page. Will it really? I think my stomach will reject it and say F off.
Right.
Tweaked Audio sponsoring the show today. Five great styles, seven great colors, designed to sound great no matter what you throw at it. That's tweakedaudio.com. Get a lifetime warranty today and compatibility with everything, including these. This new iOS update will be just fine in your ears. You're not going to have any trouble playing music. It's going to be fine. Have you tested music on iOS 7?
Yes, and the iTunes radio is already up and running, and it works.
Oh, weird. That's
cool. It's like Pandora, iTunes Pandora. It's
You're making me want to just update.
We'll talk after the show.
I'm scared, though, Brian. I feel like my life is too crazy for me to have an unforeseen... I don't know. I got to think about it.
Yeah.
I thought
I'll try
last night...
If you want me to try any apps and let you know whether they work or not...
You know what, Temple Run?
You want me to test Temple Run for you?
Sure. Get on that. You know what I would really like to try it on is an iPad, but that version of the beta is not out yet, right?
Available. Yeah.
No. So I have to wait.
Because
then I could do that like on my old 2 and just kind of experiment, mm-hmm. you know? I don't know.
Right.
I'll figure it out.
Who has one of your older iPhones?
Taylor does.
Upgrade them. There you go.
Why not? She's Taylor, on a 4S. We could make her do it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Should we do celebrity poop? Probably a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, because we got to call these guys soon.
We'll be quick.
Yeah, we'll be quick. We promise.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
Coverville.
Coverville.com.
Yeah. 3 p.m. today. Check it out.
Yeah, it's Coverville. Check it out today. Brand new. What are you doing? You don't know.
I don't know. I have no idea.
All right. Sounds good.
I have not even thought about it. I'm a day behind on my life.
On everything. Way to go. Thanks, iOS. And thanks, World of Warcraft.
That's right.
Community reunited with creator Dan Harmon. So everyone's excited about this. They're getting their creator back.
So excited.
Yeah,
yes.
Still no Chevy Chase, but that's probably the reason he got kicked anyway. So mm-hmm. at least that's the rumor. NBC said Monday Harmon will be joined by another former Community producer, Chris McKenna. Harmon was replaced as showrunner for season 4 after a clash with then-cast member Chevy Chase. In voicemails that Harmon released that year, Chase called Community a mediocre sitcom. You bastard.
I'd say the first 3 seasons of that are
the best thing
fantastic.
Ever.
Yeah, yes.
And 4 was a little rough.
Yes, and I get, you know, 5, with coming back with Dan Harmon, the first episode you know is going to have a lot of Chevy Chase jokes, but like references to... Hey, you guys ever remember that bad season of Saturday Night Live when the Ebersol years or something mm-hmm. like that? There's going to be winky, winky kind of Easter egg kind of things in there.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sure of that. NBC announced the sitcom had been renewed for 5th season, did not say when it would land on the new schedule. So watch for that coming soon.
Oh, please, not Saturday nights.
Jane.
Death knell.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You don't want that in your life.
It absolutely is.
Jane Lynch. Internet or a TV superstar and noted lesbian mm-hmm. and Laura Embry are
what?
Getting it.
Jane Lynch is a lesbian?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now they're getting divorced. So it's already happening. Glee star Jane Lynch. Oh, by the way, she was on the one episode of West Wing as a person in the audience or in the press room asking a question and it freaked me out.
That's it? Really?
Yep, that was it.
You've got access to Jane Lynch and use her for that?
I don't think she was a big deal then. This is like 2005 or something, 4. I don't know what it was.
I know we've talked about it a million times on the show, but Party Down.
Yeah, watch Party
Down.
Season
1, Party Down, Jane Lynch at her finest.
Yeah, she was real good. And that's why we lost her to Glee. That was the trouble there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Dr. Laura Embry is her wife. She's age 44. Lynch is like 52 or something. They're getting a divorce. They told People magazine, that is, not just people they know. Laura and I have decided to end our marriage. This has been a difficult decision for us, and we care very deeply about one another. Just not enough to stay married, I guess. We ask for privacy as we deal with this family matter, Lynch said in a statement. Lynch, 52, and Embry, 44, met at the 2009 fundraiser in San Francisco, which Embry was honored. Shortly after confirming their engagement, the women married on a Memorial Day in 2010 in an intimate ceremony in Sutton, Massachusetts, one of the few states where gay marriage is recognized. I don't like it when gay people get divorced because it kind of messes with the momentum of their goals. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they're trying to, we want equality. And when you go, yeah, look at those two. They're so happy together. And then, they're just like us. They just get divorced like everyone else.
Well, yeah, that's equal. That's equality.
I know it is. It still makes me sad.
We're not saying, I don't think they're at all saying that, well, gay marriages are better than heterosexual marriages.
Right. That's true. In some ways, they're probably, yeah, well, I don't know. It's a weird world we live in.
Access to that equipment. What's the Seinfeld thing? He's had access to that equipment his whole life. He knows how it works.
Right.
What's the deal?
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Fitness Geek will be here. We'll have jury time, jury duty. You're familiar with that. I am.
I'm familiar with that, yes.
So that'll be fun. And more stuff after that. Let's get to a song. What do you got?
I have. So we've got very contrasty songs today. So chances are, if you don't like the middle of the show song, you're going to love the end of the show song. And if you like the middle of the show song, you're probably not going to like the end of the show song. I'd like to see I guess I'm kind of the one of the people whose Venn diagram would fall right in the middle, although... Mm. We'll get to that later.
Sure.
Let's start off with the lighter of the two songs. Michael writes in and says, "Hey, Stannis and Baratheon." That's a popular one. I like that. On June 8th, my wonderful wife Erin and I will be celebrating our one-year wedding anniversary. To celebrate the first of many, many fantastic years to come, I would love to dedicate a cover of Michael Bublé's Everything to my lovely wife. It has been a hell of a year, and I'm so glad I get to spend the rest of my life with you. Even though you make me laugh out loud and cause a scene at my office, love the show, though, Michael Bowman.
Okay.
Michael Bowman.
That name is familiar, isn't it?
Astronaut from a sci-fi movie. 2001, right?
Commander Bowman, pull the left flank. I don't know. There's something familiar in that name. I was just trying to make a scenario.
David Bowman? Was Dave Bowman? I can't do that, Dave. Okay.
Dave.
All right. Anyway.
I can't do that, Dave. Sorry.
Michael Bowman was the brother he left back on Earth when he went to space.
Okay. Hell.
Yeah.
Space hell?
Space with hell.
Space hell.
Space hell.
Space hell's way worse than real hell.
Let's do an a cappella cover of Michael Bublé's Everything.
Right.
This one recorded by the Penny Loafers from their 2009 release, The Cops Come at Midnight. This is dedicating for Michael Bowman to his astronaut friend, David Bowman. I'm kidding. To his wife. And congratulations on your anniversary.
Your deal. Yeah, your thing.
Deal. Happy deal.
Happy deal, everyone. We'll be back in a moment with all that stuff I said before and more. Stay tuned.
You're a fallen star. You're the getaway car. You're the line in the sand when I go too far. You're the swimming pool on an August day, and you're the perfect thing to say. And you play it coy, but it's kinda cute. Oh, when you smile at me, you know exactly what you do. Baby, don't pretend that you don't know it's true, 'cause you can see it when I look at you. And in this crazy life, and through these crazy times, it's you. You make me sing your every line, your every word, your everything. You're a carousel, you're a wishing well, and you light me up when you ring my bell. You're a mystery, you're from outer space. You're every minute of my everyday. And I can't believe, oh, that I'm your man. And I get to kiss your baby just because I can. Whatever comes our way, oh, we'll see it through. And you know that's what a love can do. And in this crazy life, and through these crazy times, it's you. You make me sing your every line, your every word, your everything. this crazy life, and through these crazy times that you and you, you make me sing your every line, your every word, your everything. Your every song, and I sing along, 'cause you're my every.
Hold hair stronger with Bold Hold. New Bold
Hold.
Loved in my
tighter. The Morning Stream. Desperately working off a pile of parking lot tacos since 2011.
The taco thing happened in 2011? Or was that 2012? I guess it was 11.
Oh, 2011?
That's a long time ago. Brian, time is fast.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. Where is it all going? How can I account for all my lost time?
Well, you've got this. You can actually, you've got probably the best method of all to be able to go back and say, here's what I was doing on May 18th, 2011. I was recording TMS, and here's what was on my mind. Here was my thing of the day.
I could do that. That terrifies me to do that, though. The idea of going back and listening to something that old. I don't know why. I never do it. I never do it. It always freaks me out like it's going to be real bad, and I just didn't know it at the time I did it. I know. It's a sad way to look at it, but I for whatever reason, I do.
I make love to my tiger.
I didn't even click that again. Sorry.
That's all right.
Let's do a show here.
Click that all you want.
Yours is my favorite.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like Herbert on Family Guy.
Yeah, it does. Mm. Just got a good look at
Chris.
So check this out.
Sure, that's my Paula Deen impersonation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, totally. Check this out right here.
Sony also made a point to advertise that the PlayStation 4 fully supports used and borrowed games. The PS4 doesn't require an online connection, and there's no authentication required. PSN accounts will transfer over to the PS4. However, playing games online will require a PlayStation Plus account.
All right, so that's interesting. But it is also cool, though, that you can carry that over. So if you already had a subscription, it carries over, and it works for all three platforms. So Vita, PS3, and PS4.
Nice.
All right. Time to call Chinbeard. Oops. Where is he here? Sorry. Here he is. It's Bill Duran. Let's give him a call. I got to have a theme for him today. Oh, crap. How about... I like having fake ones, so here's one for you. Let's see.
Who could that be?
It's Bill Duran. Hello, Bill.
Who could that be?
What's going on, Bill? Hey, I thought of you yesterday multiple times. I'm watching all these video game previews and the E3 coverage, and I kept thinking, oh, these are all guns he could make.
Bill's going to make that. Oh, Bill's going to make that one. Bill's going to make it.
Totally. Did you have a similar experience?
That's my whole life now. Mm. So, all right. So, my wife and I made a point to watch the whole Sony thing last night.
Yeah.
And I don't care about anything. Like, price, I guess that's kind of important, whatever. You know what I care about? I care about new properties, new games with crazy cool new things.
Yeah.
And when they pop up.
What was it called? 18 something?
The Order 1884 or whatever.
Dude.
When that popped up, I was like, yes, mm-hmm. this is good. Steampunk, I'm for it.
Yeah.
Lightning gun?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's it. I was like, sold. Yep. This is the one I want.
Yeah, I want really? That. I would have played that. Interesting. It looked really good, Brian.
Yeah.
What's it called? Order 1884?
The Order 1884, I think.
Something like that.
And what it looks like, these guys had names
1886.
Like... didn't? Oh, it was 1886. These guys, we're just pulling gear out of our butts. But these people, it looked like this, you know, kind of late 1800s,
Victorian
era stuff, right? Yeah. And but very steampunky. but also not in a very, very rich looking setting. And what was cool about it was the names of those people. They were calling each other like Ezekiel and freaking like these cool names. I don't even know how to describe this. You got to see the trailer. I'm sure Game Trailers has it up by now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, you should watch that. It's
really I'll watch cool. it with silence on so that I can listen to you guys and look at pretty pictures.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So that was cool. I love seeing new things. Here's the thing. Like Halo stuff are pretty played out, you know? And the aesthetic of that game and the items and stuff that they make. I want fresh things.
Yeah, so I didn't. There was nothing. None of the. That was my other problem. The Microsoft thing, as much as I mean, they showed good looking games. I just feel like I was being shown the same kinds of games again.
So I have a couple of buddies, some really, really good friends of mine who I used to live with, actually, who both work at Bungie. Yeah. And that Destiny thing looks really cool.
Yeah, it does. It looks really nice. I mean, it's hard some people are like, well, it looks like more Halo to me, but I think there's a lot going on.
I think there's a lot more going on there. And I know that they've been seriously burning the candle at both ends to get that demo ready for E3 because whenever I try and hang out with them, they're busy. But they really pulled out a really cool, really awesome demo that was super compelling. So, and I want to make all that stuff too.
All those guns. Let me make your guns and your costumes and your things and your armor. All right, well, Bill, let's talk about human armor, how we can improve ourselves physically, even though this video game stuff is much more fun to talk about. But
it sure is.
We need to counter our lives with a little bit of exercise or something. So what's on your mind today? Yeah. What do we need to do?
Well, I got thrown an article from one Andreas, who...
Andreas Ekberg, yeah!
Mm-hmm. This is the
official TMS Swede.
Yeah. The scientific 7-minute workout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and if you look that up, I'll put a link in the chat room. But if you go to Google, look that up, there's a New York Times article talking about this thing. Oop, there's a link in the chat room. So the idea is, because it's a short 7-minute workout, it is a high-intensity workout. And we've talked about high-intensity workouts before, where you do a 30 seconds or a minute of super high-intense exercise, and then you drop down to a normal pace for like 15 seconds, get a quick break, and then you jump back into the next high intensity thing. So this is like kind of like circuit training, like a full body circuit training workout, and it hits all of the different muscle groups in your body, and there are 12 different workouts, and each one is, let's see, 30 seconds long, and you get 10 seconds to rest.
Right.
Okay. And it's and apparently it alternates between upper and lower body muscles so that not only do you get 10 seconds to rest, but while you're working on something else, the last thing you worked out gets to rest. And I'm using air quotes. Rest.
Oh, I was wondering. I sensed an air quote.
Yeah. Because let's say you just did squats and then next you're doing push-ups. Technically, your arms are working out and your legs are resting, but they're not really.
Right, really. So what you're describing to me sounds... I was talking to Kim about this yesterday.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hoke out there, you know? A little bit of hokum when it comes to stuff. And I would point to devices such as that weird... what's that? Looks like a hand.
Abdominizer.
But any of those. Or the one with the hand weight where you shake it, the shaker.
Shake weight,
That stuff seems like complete and utter BS to me. So how do you know when something like this works or not?
Well, the high intensity workout thing is something that's been sort of worked on and debated and talked about for the last decade, I think. Actually, last couple decades. It's been around a while. And just by calling something the scientific workout doesn't necessarily mean that it works or that it's the best thing out there. So as far as a marketing thing goes, by calling it scientific, sure, it sounds good. But the idea behind high intensity interval workouts seems to be pretty sound. There is evidence that it is a more efficient way to burn calories and all that.
I have a relative's relative, so someone who's related to a relative of mine. I guess I'm distantly related to them, but anyway, they had a program that they started in Vegas called the 20-second workout. I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing.
Yeah.
But they used to do like infomercials for it and stuff, and it was literally like. It wasn't just 20 seconds of your day. It was a series of really high-intensity interval-style stuff that you would do 20 seconds at a time.
Right.
So you'd go for 20 seconds and then just, okay, now you got 10 seconds to like kick it out a little bit. And then you do 20 seconds of another intense thing. Is this like that?
Yeah, it is. And it's, and the thing about it too is it's designed to be unpleasant. It says an 8 out of 10 on the discomfort scale, which I didn't know I had a discomfort scale. Mm. I don't want one.
Yeah.
But it says 30 seconds of push-ups. It doesn't say how many push-ups. Mm-hmm. So like you might be able to do 30 push-ups in 30 seconds, or you might be able to do 5 in 30 seconds. You know, it's up to you and how hard you push yourself.
Hmm.
And the other thing that they don't say is how often you might do one of these full routines. It's only 7 minutes of workout, once a day, 3 times a week. I'm not really sure. But I would still, if this was part of my regular workout routine, I would not make it the only part of my workout routine. And sure. I would still do like a half hour of cardio every day or something to make sure that I've covered all my bases.
Got it.
Yeah, but anyway.
Sense. I mean, it's not something you want to, right. Yeah, I think daily.
Yeah, daily or three times a week. Yeah.
Mix it in with the treadmill. I like that. Yep. Yeah.
It's not bad.
I would still do cardio every day, maybe this 3 times a week, and then the other 3 times a week do maybe exercises that are focusing on a part of the body that you have a goal towards.
Before I forget, is your back better? These kinds of exercises remind me of a thing that would be hard for people with back problems, but how's your back?
Yeah, it's been slow and steady, the sort of thing where you still kind of feel it, like when you turn your head to look out the back of the car, and you're like, ooh, it's still there. But no, my back's been getting a lot better.
Nice. Well, you know, I'm always concerned about our guests. One other thing I was going to say, for this sort of thing, is there a better than other resource for people to use? I mean, I know you can Google this kind of training, but where's a good place to go?
Apparently, 7-min.com is a place for it.
All right. Apparently,
yeah. I don't. Someone in the chat room posted it, so we could all be downloading a virus right now or not.
Well, you could.
This is some sort of timer. Oh no, this is really cool. Mm. It says jumping jacks, and it's got a 30-second countdown, and then it bumps to the next thing.
So this is in the chat room. Somebody posted this. Oh, here it is. Okay,
7-min.com.
I got raggedy ass something else. That's not it. Hold on,
that's a whole different thing.
Well, there it is. 7-min. Oh, yep. This is cool.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's any sound. 3.
It just, two, yeah, there's one. Sound.
Is there sound? Oh, jumping jack. Oh, every second has, 28. Oh my gosh, I got to do it. Hold on. I'm going to hit the roof. I'm going to stand. forget it. I'm already tired. All right. So,
my plan is I am going to try this out, I think, this weekend, and I will report back.
Okay. Cool. Please do. Yeah. Now, then we're done with all that boring stuff. Let's talk. And it's not really boring, but let's talk about your Kickstarter and where we're at. What's going on with that thing?
Oh, my God. Holy crap. Okay, so if you haven't heard about it already, if you haven't heard me posting about it twice, sometimes 3 times a day, as last week, I am running my own Kickstarter campaign called the Prop Space Gun Project. And you can find it easily by going to propspaceguns.com. And we are 66% funded already.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Can you believe that?
That's great, dude. How much time left?
3 weeks.
Plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
I was out on a bike ride last week when we hit like 50%. And I was stopped for a rest. There's a little park and a water fountain there. And I was like, oh, I'll check on the thing there. And we hit like 50%, and I'm in like alone in a park, like sunburnt and sweating from my bike ride, just like getting really emotional.
Getting
you
emotional.
Guys believe in me.
I love that. I love that you're flying down the road somewhere in Seattle,
like tears streaming down my face. Oh my god, you guys like my thing.
That's great.
Going into the project.
Kotaku or somebody posted a cool thing about it. I can't remember who it was, but that's rad.
So yeah, the fear going into this, my anxieties, the way they work, was that you know, people like the stuff that I make from video games, and I'm thinking like, well, do they like my stuff or do they just like Mass Effect? I don't really know.
Right.
So I launched a thing that's totally my own, totally my own design, and it turns out that people actually like the stuff that I make. So it was pretty validating.
Yeah, I know this feeling with certain art projects. It's like, well, if I'm riffing on something people like a lot, well, I guess that's why it's popular. And then once in a while, you'll do something on your own and go, oh, well, this one did all right, too. And I guess I guess I can create things that aren't derivative and people are cool with it. So totally get that.
So anyway, we are 66% funded, which is like crazy awesome. Obviously, not 100% yet, and we do have lots of time. But if you think that this thing I'm making is cool, you could go, and there are still plenty of options available. However, the collector's edition, the 10 collector's edition guns are gone.
Mm.
Those went fast.
Yeah, they did.
And then the legacy edition, which is the you get to name the gun, that level's gone too. Someone's going to name it. Yeah.
Whoa. You have to take whatever they name? Like, what if they say,
Larry.
I want to call it Larry the Penis. What are you going to do?
That would be awesome.
Okay. Larry the Penis
amazing.
Gun.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I can market that. I can totally market that.
Of course you can.
No, I've already talked with the gentleman who got that level, and we've come up with some really good ideas.
Great.
The main thing, though, is still there's an unlimited amount available. That's the blank gun kit. That's the real thing I want to push, because that's the collaborative sort of spirit of this project, is that I made this platform for people to sort of put their own spin on, modify. Yeah.
How hard is it to paint something like this? I mean, what do you just use model paints, or what kind of paints would somebody use?
So I would put it, it's not necessarily a beginner level. I wouldn't give it to a 10-year-old, but for the most part, you have to sand it a little bit.
Well, I'm out.
Oh, damn it. You gotta sand it. You've got to paint it. Wait, glue. You have to glue it together. They're pieces. It's like putting together a model car or something.
Right, but you don't need special paints. I mean, something you can go to the hobby store and pick up.
Yeah. So I do. You can do a spray paint, just a rattle can, if you want. But I use an airbrush with model paints usually for most of my things. So if you have an airbrush, you can do that, or a spray paint, or you could paint it with a brush if you want. You know, there are lots of options available. Right now, I'm actually putting together another prototype. And this one, I put in some more moving parts, so it's got a moving trigger, and I'm putting lights in it.
Oh.
Basically, it's nothing too complicated, but I want to be able to give people more ideas, like something that you could do with this blank kit.
It's so the Duran Touch.
That's right.
That's what I'd like to call that. All right, cool. Check it out. Punish Pops also is a great place to follow how this thing's going. And on Twitter, Chinbeard will tell you where to go and how to do it and where to link. Bill, it's always a pleasure. Looking forward to the costume contest in a few weeks.
Yeah.
At Nerdtacular 2013 here in beautiful Snowbird, Utah. Very excited to see the Chinbeards, as I like to call them. Have a fantastic day,
Mr. and Mrs. Chinbeard.
See you guys.
Bye now.
See ya.
All right, rolling right into jury duty.
All right.
Now, he is not online today, according to this. Usually he's...
Well, but see, you can't trust Skype.
You can't trust nonsense. Skype, except that just hung up immediately.
Oh. Well, in this case, maybe you can't trust Skype.
So I'm with you on that, but see... Oh. Now, normally it would just ring, though, wouldn't it? Unless he doesn't have voicemail enabled or something, I guess.
The person you are trying to reach
is unavailable.
Where's my money, Brian?
Brian?
All right, that's weird. Let's try a fresh one.
Okay.
Oh, I heard a sound. Oh, no. It's an old chin beard sound, I think. Skype does that sometimes. There's like a little bit of data in there still. Oh, now he's turned yellow. Oh, I think I see him. Okay, hold on. I'm not ready for this. There it is. Whoa.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
I make love to my tiger.
All right. It's Justin Robert Young.
Hi.
Justin Robert Youngman, my favorite Jewish call-in guest, here to ambiguously...
Hello, Scott. It's very good to be on here. Hearing about the Xbox One versus the PS4. Such a dust up.
Dude, it's been a whole week since our giant... discussion on female stuff. Remember that?
Oh, right.
Where we, three white men, decided the fate of all females.
That's right. Finally. That's right. That was some rough business. I got
Who better to make decisions?
I got a lot of email feedback about that. None of it negative, though. It was all just sort of a lot of different takes and thoughts and stuff about
probably
what we
a
were
lot of pity.
About. Yeah, right? But a little bit. I mean, none of us were claiming to be anything more than, you know, fringe commentators on this issue. But
right.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think what I liked about our dialogue was that it wasn't a dialogue. We're joking about like that we're deciding everything, right. You know, like it was a conversation about how we should react as dudes in this sphere on this issue. Like right. it was about reacting to the decision that women make. And that is, I think, where the dialogue should be as opposed to what women should do.
Right.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And it's funny because Thursday's show with Wendy was actually even more controversial because at one point Wendy made the comment that when she go, like she had used this example, when she goes to Vegas, she sees it with her eyes. And the goal of her conversation was try to say, look, you got to understand how everyone sees stuff the way they're going to see it, or they all see things differently. So, for example, I go to Vegas and I see some stripper on a table. I think, oh man, why are you doing this to yourself? What are you doing here? Why would you want this to happen? And people in the chat room
I also like that you would just happen to find yourself.
Walked into this room and there's a stripper on a table. Oh.
You young thing. Why did you end up like this?
Right.
Sure,
exactly.
I need change for this 20.
It was an odd example, but I think the point of it was, it's like, well, I see it through those lenses, but somebody else sees it a different way. And we had people at home freaking out going, women should expose themselves any way they want to. It's their choice. I'm like, no, we're not saying they shouldn't. We're saying that you have a perception. I have a perception. We're all going to judge it differently. Why can't we all just get along or something to that effect? And it was just an interesting week of like feminism on display and handled oddly by the hosts of TMS and various guests. That's what last week was, you know?
You know, it's, I think, but here's my point. Dialogue is the best thing.
Right.
And like when we all kind of have this soft agreement that everybody's that like, well, we all agree the right thing, right? And then we all nod and we move along.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't serve anybody. You know, more specifically, the very important issues that I think come along with stuff like, you know, feminism and how we in our geek little sphere handle the world. Which, by the way, I had this thought today as I was watching the finale of Game of Thrones on Sunday, rather. You know, this is the world built in our image, you know? Like, the two most popular shows on television are The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones, which if you were to say 6 years ago, hey, who's into The Walking Dead and Game of Thrones? It would have been the neck beardiest dude in the room who jumped up and said, me!
Yeah. Right. No, that's an interesting thing. I said this on Comic Dorks about the culture we have now, like film culture is crazy. The movies that are going to make the most money are the ones about the stuff I would have been beat up for in junior high.
Mm-hmm. No lie.
Yeah.
I had a game for a high school for the Go game a couple weeks ago, and there were a group of girls, senior girls in high school, who were like literally having a discussion about whether or not they preferred the old Spider-Man movies where Spider-Man had the power to shoot webs out of his hands, or the new Spider-Man movie where he invented his web shooter, which the organic versus mechanical web shooter argument is the first violent holy war that I ever remember on the internet.
Right. And it's, like, I mean, the hard part
about...
And it
was bloody. There is like a monument with a the flame that never goes out, like to that internet flame war. Like, it was violent. And also, the second I would have mentioned it to somebody that wasn't on the internet, they immediately would have gone to sleep. It would have been like a stage hypnotist.
Yeah.
If it's like, well, I believe that Spider-Man, it's part of the character that he's a scientist and should have invented his... That's anybody I would have talked to. And now pretty senior girls in high school are having this conversation unironically.
But that would still piss, that would still, that's going to piss off hipster nerds, though, who will be like, well, the comic book is where you go for the source on this. And, you know, it's widely accepted as canon that he built his own apparatus. You start interjecting that into a group of pretty high school girls, and that's when they still start looking at you like you're a freak. You know what I'm saying? The comic origins of this are getting short shrift is what I'm getting at.
That's a very strange way to look at that, though. Because, like, obviously we are making progress, right?
Sure, it's progress. Sure.
This was, I mean, like, this was a conversation that would be had in a comic book shop.
Yeah,
now, you
true.
Can say that they came to the wrong conclusion, which I will, and I had to restrain myself from saying, well, what are you talking about? That's crazy. I almost had the Scott Johnson moment where I just leaned over and said, well, obviously, I mean, you haven't just read the books, so your opinion's invalid.
Why didn't you? And then why didn't you vine it or something?
That would have been I should have vined it.
Fantastic.
But yeah, so it's amazing. Now, I'll tell you what. I have been informed by the podcast length commission that I'm not to go over I'm not to do another 45-minute segment this week.
They're tough. So let me get to my point. They're tough time. Bastards, dude. They're tough bastards. All right, give us what you got. What do you got?
So Game of Thrones just ended.
Yeah.
Very, very good season, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so.
I very much enjoyed it. I loved the show.
Felt really short.
It got 10 episodes, right?
Yeah.
But it got me thinking, what is the best season of television? Not series. The best season of television that you've ever seen.
Oh, man.
So you would have to start, and because first it started out with me thinking, well, was this season better than season 2?
Yeah,
of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Because I think it would really be between those two. As good as season 1 is, season 2 and season 3 have bigger moments and are executed on a larger scale.
Yeah.
And so then it got me thinking, all right, well then if I'm going to take all of my favorite shows and select one season and then match them up against each other, understanding that it's apples to oranges, like well, let's start with you. I hear, Scott, that you're a fan of a show called The West Wing.
Yeah, I enjoy The West Wing.
He may have mentioned that once or twice.
Yeah, I think I have. It's funny because my brain went straight to, what was the episode of Dukes of Hazzard where they find an alien? When was that? Because that was a great season.
Jeez.
Did you remember? Brian, you've seen this.
Well,
this
yeah,
is the most stupidest
this.
Thing
yes.
ever. All right. For me, honestly, let me tell you about...
Well, and number one, talk about... You know, the Game of Thrones has 10 episodes. Dukes of Hazzard, back in the day, they had like 45 episode seasons.
I know.
You had to write 45 Dukes of Hazzard stories, you'd show up with an alien sooner than they did. Yeah. I have no doubt.
For me, on The West Wing, it's a toss-up between season 1 and season 2. I think they're both really, really good. I think the whole series is good, but I really,
really
like that.
Which one ends with the homeboy taking the bullet?
That season 1 ends that way. And
that's
probably
pretty
why,
big.
Yeah, those are big deal. The assassination attempt is a thing you had to do in a series like that, and I was really glad how they did it. I thought it was really good. I love that. But if I had to pick a show where I said, if I had to say what's my favorite season of television, period, like of all time, I'm real close to saying it's Breaking Bad season 4.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of people, a couple people are saying The Tadpole.
Yeah. Which is made, I'm actually just starting that.
Oh, goodness, dude. You're in for some fun.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad season 4.
Yeah. All of the the problem with me though is sometimes this stuff bleeds together because like all of Justified is amazing, all of the Shield is incredible.
Justified,
season 2 of Justified with it was in the glass.
Oh, that was real good.
You know, but here's really the problem, good. and I agree with you. If you that is my favorite season of Justified, but I feel like if you're going to match them up, just because Justified is not a show that necessarily like. Prides itself on quote big ideas unquote.
Yeah,
you know it's just an awesome pulp. You know,
it's
kind
great.
Of
it's the, I started watching Longmire because people said, hey, if you like Justified, you might like Longmire. This A&E or not A&E? Where yeah, it's A&E drama.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Katie Sackhoff in it, and whatever. And I'm in love with that. But you're right. They're great, and I'm a Western nut, and these are basically modern-day Westerns, and they're all Elmore and Leonard talk, and I love the language of these shows, and I love it. They feel like comfortable boots, just great shows to watch. But I'm not going to ever go, oh, yeah, the best season of television ever exists in the, you know, on Justified.
Because this is very much a us wafting our own farts in our face, you know, like talking about the high-minded right. nature of the art for which is television. And in that very art fart-smelling conversation, Justified, as much as I love it, and I am more apt to probably rewatch episodes of Justified than I am necessarily some of the other shows that we'll discuss.
Yeah.
But I think it does not compare favorably to maybe, let's say, something like The Wire, which is, or even something to stick in the what's his face catalog, like Deadwood, which is like,
oh, I love Deadwood. You know,
a Western about like the biggest of big ideas. I mean, like Deadwood is a show about like the construction of a town and whether or not, you know, the pros and cons of people being together versus being alone.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a huge,
that's an interesting way to separate these genres into what the idea of big ideas getting experimented with is something maybe we're seeing more and more of on TV. And I'm more and more sensitive to when people are playing it safe, if that makes sense. I'll see some show on TV and go, oh, man, you guys really had a cool idea here. But I get the feeling one of you suits in the back room thought this was too risky and you didn't want to do it. And we have to rely
on scale back to this.
Yeah. Right.
Like, you know, although I was going to say why. But then again, you know, I feel like for me, Walking Dead was a show that started out as a show that could be about big ideas and then just kind of decided to play it safe and be a show about zombies getting punched.
Right.
And that's like, because listen, if you were to dumb down Game of Thrones and just make it a show about Khaleesi and her dragons, I think it would be as, you know, there's a certain audience that just wants to see banging and dragons.
Sounds like Mama's House or something.
Banging and dragons.
Yeah, or Khaleesi and her dragons this Saturday coming to CBS.
But yeah, no,
that Game would come Thrones. Right after the episode of the Dukes of Hazzard with the alien. Sorry,
I agree with you about seasons 2 and 3 of Game of Thrones. I mean, the stuff that just happened recently in Game of Thrones, big stuff. But I think it was that season 1 for me that said, oh, okay, anything can happen. You know, I mean, there's nothing is sacred. No one is safe.
Yeah.
I think for me, season 1 of Game of Thrones would definitely be in the top 5.
Plus, it was Game of Thrones, despite the things where you realize anything can happen and anyone can go, right? That feeling that you got.
Right.
Despite all of that, there was a real hopefulness to season 1 because you knew we had some badass wolves rolling around. You knew you had some cool kids that were going to grow up to do some things. You had no idea what was coming up. It's only now that we realize, holy shite, you're just going to you're going to tear my throat out at every turn.
Well,
Thorin beat me to my other one, which is Battlestar Galactica season 1. Just that first episode, too, after the pilots,
the 33
minute.
This was my argument with Brian Brushwood, because we had this conversation after Game of Thrones, and he was like, Battlestar season 1. And I'm a little rusty because it's been a while since I've seen Battlestar. But if I were to make an argument against season 1 and for season 2, it would be that the end of season 1, excluding the boomer reveal, like the whole we got to go back to Earth and get the arrow and like that kind of stuff, like that was probably the most sort of hokey Voyager, like, you know.
It was a little Voyager.
Like, and we never really got back to that spot.
Yeah.
You know, it was from then on, it was way more like all the problems were solved in like gritty submarine maneuver kind of scenes and not like we got to go back to the place and get the thing.
Yeah. I like this line, though. The line I'll never forget at the big reveal. You mentioned the boomer reveal where somebody yelled out, "She's made of robots." And then they cut to the. they cut to the thing. They were
perfect.
Out.
Perfect. Yeah.
Are you sure that that wasn't just you yelling after you saw it?
It might have been. Now that you mention it. So for me, it's really. I mean, if I start, this is the problem with this conversation. It's starting to make me think of all the incredible TV we've had in the last, let's say, 6 or 7 years of things getting better and better and better. And I'm now having a hard time picking. Like, it really is hard to pick your favorite. And it's funny you said I could rewatch Justified, which I could totally do, but I don't know if I could rewatch much of Breaking Bad. I feel like that is a show I will consume once, and I do it rabidly, and I can't wait for it. But when I'm done, I don't think I want to go back. I think I'm done with that.
It's an intense show, and it's really funny because as I'm watching it now, it's kind of changed from a show where it was a very premise-heavy show initially.
Yeah.
It was like high school cooker, high school teacher cooks meth. Who's going to catch him? The principal, his wife, a former student, like the DEA brother-in-law.
What?
And it was good. It was really, really good. But it was all like each episode was a different facet of Willie.
Mr. Furley's going to walk in on Jack not being gay, basically.
Yeah.
And then as I've seen it going forward, it's like, oh, no, wait. Now this is a crime show.
Yeah.
Now this is a show about an intense crime narrative, and it's kind of flexed its writing muscle more and more as things have gone forward, and it's like it sort of realized that the wife not knowing is annoying, so she's just gonna know, like, how would this character react? She's more interesting knowing what's going on than not knowing,
which seems so, which again is that not playing it safe thing, like they decided to do a thing that seems, it goes against intuition, but it works on that show. That show is freaking amazing. So season three, you just finished it. That's the one with the twins, right? The twin head.
I hate to, and I know you're watching it and you think it's great, but you use Voyager as a synonym for crap. But I was not a gigantic. And considering, actually, I will say that was more late seasons X-Files-y.
I liked those guys. Really, I thought they were great, and I liked the whole. I liked the Danny Trejo turtle. If without spoiling too much,
I like that. No, I like that. But it was just like, they were kind of hokey for the sake of being hokey.
A little bit, yeah.
Could have just had them be regular badass Mexican cartel assassins and not have them be like these weird Mexican Frankensteins.
The Terminator twins, yeah. The thing is you're in for a treat with four, because four,
but you've got the bell ringing dude, right? That's you see that guy in season two, right? Or season one?
Season
even?
One?
Season
two. Is he? Because he's at Tico's. Yeah, he's at Tico's house.
Yes. And, oh, right. Yes.
Ding 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 ding. But you don't get to see him poop his pants until three.
Yeah. Which is great.
Yeah, he needs a thickener. He needs some sort of cheese in his diet. And then,
listen, you wanted to show those feds who's boss.
Yeah. That was so
spoiler
gross.
Alert.
So oh, gross. Yeah,
by the way, let me give a big spoiler alert for this entire segment. Oh, suck on it.
Listen,
Eagles.
We haven't given anything away. Yeah. Besides, there's things I could tell you about four that would spoil you to all the hell.
Oh,
back.
Poop.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going to start. Wait, are you caught up on the Game of Thrones books?
Yeah, actually, I haven't seen the last episode yet, so I'm probably watch that tonight, but yeah, I've heard it, did they do like last season where it's like the battle with the green fire and everyone's dying and then a kind of quiet ender, or how's it work this time?
You got to kind of have the reaction episode after the penultimate
season
episode.
Game of Thrones kind of does the same thing that The Wire did, where their big thing happens in the second to last episode, and then the last episode is kind of more of an epilogue, and that's what this is. But I will say this. Here's a little behind-the-curtain action for you as we draw to a close, as the Podcast Time Commission is tapping his watch in front of me.
There's a representative there? Okay.
Listen, he showed up this morning
okay.
and he made coffee, and right. now he's getting really upset. So,
you guys are on it. Jeez.
So at Sunday afternoon, I send around two other book readers, including Veronica and Tom and Brian, like a betting list of things that may or may not happen in this last episode. Because for book readers, a lot of things that happen right after the Red Wedding are like major events.
Yeah.
And it would not be crazy to think that they would at least tease stuff that wouldn't be like a cliffhanger necessarily, but would certainly push things forward. And Tom watches the East Coast feed on the West Coast. Mm. So it's like, 6 o'clock West Coast. So he's done at 9 o'clock. And he just texts all of us and says, well, we were all wrong, to a riotous, like, you ruined it, Tom! just a clamor.
I think that's awesome.
From everybody else.
Hold on, though. But didn't, do they... Okay, I'm just going to ask some hinty words, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, okay? Wolfhead.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Really? Wow. That's some rough business.
I mean, and I was afraid that it was, to be honest, I was afraid they were going to be more graphic with it.
Oh, really? They weren't. Okay. Interesting.
I mean, it's graphic, but it is graphic as you remembered it. Yeah. And not like, I was afraid that they were going to take the liberty of like, we can show things on the television and be like, and by the way, let's watch us construct this thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Which would be brutal.
Here's the next one. Vengeful Rebirth.
No.
Okay.
Which is, I thought there was going to be a teasing of that, but I'm happy that there was not.
Okay. Because that's that, because that's got to be, they're saving, they're holding that for next year.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Wow.
No. So that's going to be a big.
That's huge deal. Huge deal. Oh man, Brian.
All right. Well, here, listen.
Sorry. The guy, he's tapping his watch.
What, I will say this.
Yeah.
Go on to my Twitter right now. At Justin R. Young on Twitter.
Yeah.
You're going to see me looking sexy as hell in a brand new San Francisco Federation t-shirt. You can buy all of the FSL Tonight team's logos on a t-shirt. If you go to /loot.com, search for FSL. It's a hilarious time, and everyone's going to have a great, great time when you're wearing your FSL Tonight t-shirt.
Look at you, dude. That's an awesome shot.
Bandaged up. How come I wasn't following you before now? That's crazy.
My favorite.
What?
Yeah, what are you doing, dude?
I just realized that. I just logged on. I was like, wait a minute, I'm not following you. But I could have sworn that you and I have talked via Twitter.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive we have. Remind me next time that I'm on, Brian, that you played that a cappella cover, Michael Bublé song, and I feel like I've been talk to you about, like, as somebody who's a big cover fan, like, was Glee a bonus or a plague for you?
It was absolutely a plague. Yeah, because they really didn't add anything new to the arrangements. It was a cappella that was made to sound, well, actually, even the a cappella wasn't really even a cappella. They'd have a lot of backing arrangements, and it was made to sound exactly like the original, or in worst cases, made to sound exactly like covers that are maybe lesser known.
Yeah. More like a cappella, like then, right? Right? Am I right?
You're right.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So, okay. I got to deconstruct this photo real quick. All right. It's Justin Robert Young
doing the selfie with the Federation t-shirt.
There's a right eye thing going on. I can't quite explain. So I'm going to skip over that. I don't know what's happening there with your right eye.
The glass eye.
Yeah. That's
it's like
the one.
Mad Eye Moody.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Here's all. I love this. Like conspiracy here. So his camera has some sort of weird thing stuck to it. I don't know what that is.
It's like a wallet iPhone case.
Oh,
right?
Is that what that is?
Cards?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Puts your credit cards and your magnetized strips right to the one thing that can demagnetize them.
I think the one right on the front is like a donor card or something. Anyway, so there's that.
my ID and my primary credit card. Yeah. So I'm actually kind of regretting that I put that information on the internet.
Yes, indeed. His shirt's got shit all over it. There's something on the shoulder and the front there, like a bird pooped on it.
No, that's my mirror, person. You goon.
Oh, okay. So I was okay. So not Dr. Bird. Fine. All right. Then
get to the alcohol on the get to the bottles of booze on his.
Yeah,
on his,
I was going to say there's a huge booze collection in the background up there on the.
Those
on the
are
thing.
Empty bottles. I don't know whether that's bad or good.
Right. This is fun because this is what people do to photos and ruin people's lives. Right. And then I noticed, so the bed looks like it's not made. And I swear, this is Justin Robert Young literally springing out of bed and taking this photo. First thing he did, just boing, click. And that's it. All right. I love it.
Not untrue.
Okay.
I was so excited, like a little boy on Christmas.
Also, your thumbs are huge. Look at that thumb on the thumbs up, Brian. Look at that thing.
Wow,
that is a beast. Okay. That is a monster thumb.
Yeah. Hello, ladies. You know what they say about a guy who has big thumbs?
I don't know. What do they say about a guy with big thumbs?
Big gloves.
Deformity.
You can't buy gloves anywhere. They're just too hard to find. All right. Justin Robert Young, Justin R. Young on Twitter, all over the place, NSFW show, FSL Tonight, which is now ongoing. Get those t-shirts, /loot.com.
Yeah. And by the way, there was a big the frog pants flag in the middle of the new FSL Tonight episode.
Oh, really? Do tell. What did I miss? What happened?
Oh, no. Like this is the Frog Pants Network.
Oh, that.
Like 9 minutes into the episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is that in there?
I don't know.
Tom must have done that. Is he doing all the recording? He must have done that because that wasn't me.
Yeah, I guess that I'll get on. I'll get on there.
I don't insert those, nice. So I don't know how he did that. Must have been a Tom error, which is always fun to make fun of. All right, Justin Robert Young, right. Have a fantastic day. Have a great week. Let's do this again real soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye now. Hey, he just called it bisexual. I'm offended. Hey, check this out, Brian. Semen. Remember the semen, Brian? Did I lose Brian? Hold on. I did. I hung up on them both. You know, really, if I'm gonna hang up on one of you, I may as well hang up on both of you, I suppose. Or maybe he got kicked. Hello, Brian. Hello, Brian. Brian, hello. All right. While I ring Brian back, I'm ringing him now. Maybe he lost his connection or something.
Here we go.
Oh, there you are. That was weird.
You hung up on me. When
I
you
did.
Hung up on, yeah.
I totally did. That was an accident.
What's up with that?
I thought maybe you lost connection because you didn't answer for a long time. I thought, oh no, what happened? We got
no. The Skype window, which is semi-transparent, appeared on a black background, so I didn't see.
Oh.
It took me a second. It's like, oh, there it is. Whoops.
There's that tiny little green button.
Yes. Exactly.
I was just going to tell you. Speaking of semen. On Twitter. We're reminded.
Speak of semen.
We do occasionally. Ice Worm reminds us that semen on the Dreamcast was voiced by Leonard Nimoy.
Really?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh God, I totally remember that. Yes.
I had forgotten about it.
I would like some food now.
Yes. Oh, that was a weird game.
That was a really bizarre game.
Yeah. Nobody's really made anything since. All right. Let's do. Man, there's a lot of tweets since we started the show. Let's get out of here before we go. Actually, we have no emails, so never mind. I was going to do an email, but I'm not now. Oh, no. You know what? I am.
Okay.
Real fast. I have a doctor who listens to the show. His name is. Well, it's not my doctor. His name is. Well, I won't say his name, but he's a PhD, a professor, and department head at a very well known university in this country.
Prestigious, would you say?
Prestigious, yeah. You'd know, you'd see it and go, oh. And he listened to this banter flibberty flab. And he wanted to pipe in on the whole idea of time travel. You and I constantly bring this up, right?
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. Says, hi, Scott, longtime listener. Thanks for all the entertaining voices in my head. Another problem with the time travel is that Earth spins at 1,000 miles per hour. It orbits the sun 66,000 miles per hour, rather. The sun orbits the galaxy at 1.5 million miles per hour, and the galaxy itself is moving through space at 1.3 million miles per hour.
I want Eric Idle to sing this. Can we get Eric Idle to sing this?
Always know that the Earth spins at 1.3 million miles per hour. All of this is still way less than the speed of light, of course, but if you jump only 1 second in time, the Earth and everything you know has moved about 300 miles, leaving you above the atmosphere or deep in a rock, anything over 30 seconds and you're no longer even near Earth.
Yes.
That, I've heard this whole idea before, like you'd shift around.
Right, exactly.
But that is a crazy way to look at it. Like 1 second in time, you're gone. You're 300 miles from wherever you were.
No, not 1 second.
That's what it says.
1 second?
He says, really? He says, if you only jump 1 second in time, so if we jump ahead or behind 1 second in time and the Earth and everything that we were around and knew is now 300 miles away from you.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Wow.
So you could technically, if you got lucky, you might end up in in Colorado.
Hoboken.
Yeah. Or something.
Right.
But probably I'd end up somewhere in the crust of the Earth because you also have shifted up and around and
right.
All that. So that's very interesting. He also says, finally, if you haven't heard Frank Zappa's cheapness. His homage to B-movies, it's a must. Have you ever heard of this?
No, uh-uh.
Okay, we're going to play a little bit. Just a wee bit. Let's see. Cheapness, it's called.
Let me tell you something. Do you like monster movies?
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yes.
I love monster movies.
Is he still alive, by the way?
No.
I simply adore monster movies, and the cheaper they are, the better they are. And cheapness, in the case of a monster movie, has nothing to do with the budget of the film, although it helps.
Okay.
But true cheapness is exemplified by invisible nylon strings attached to the jaw of a giant spider.
All right, he goes on for like 10 minutes, but that looks awesome. I'm going to watch the whole thing.
Cool.
Let's get out of here, Brian.
Yes.
I want to thank Alpha Geek Radio for the Shoutcast stream today, as always, at alphageekradio.com. Thank you, Scott Fletcher. Thank you, Daryl. Thank you, who else showed up today? Chinbeard and Jury and everybody for being guests, helping us out. T-shirts/loot.com, frogpants.com/TMS is the website, facebook.com/themorningstream. We are at themorningstream@gmail.com and on Twitter, morningstream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. Quick reminder to those coming to Nerdtacular, make sure you arrange. There's no like regular shuttle to the thing. It's not like a shuttle that just keeps coming back and forth from
like
the resort.
Like every hour, just wait for the on the hour? No.
No, you have to like schedule it. And it's not a big deal. You just got to do it ahead of time. Nerdtacular.com for details. Just want to make sure that's out there and people know. Oh, yeah, we got to tallywhack it. I did that again. I meant to move this up. Okay, here, I'm moving it up now. Here it is. Check that out. Look at that right there.
What am I looking at?
I moved the text up, so now it says
tally. Oh, you did? Look at that. Okay, yeah. Cool. I didn't have it scrolled all the way down. Now
impressive.
I see
impressive.
Green highlight there.
Yes. Boom, schlocka boom. All right, let's call Cleo. Play here a little theme. We got a little theme for Cleo. And it goes a little something like this. There you go, Ryan. We've done what we came to do. Should we tallywhack it?
Make it so.
I make love to my tiger.
Hello.
Wow.
How are you, Cleo?
Hello.
How you doing?
You know why I love Tuesdays? Because I can oversleep and not feel bad. Because Justin Robert Young just goes for hours.
That's right. You know what?
The Energizer Bunny of...
podcasting.
It'd be one thing if it sucked. It's too bad it's so entertaining. Because then I know. You know, because now I feel like I don't care. I want to do it even though we go over. But if it sucked, at least I could go, hey, Justin, I think we're going to move you to a different day. Oh, I forgot about the day. Oh, I've lost your email. Oh, I haven't talked to you on the phone. Oh, it's too bad. But I like Justin. He's welcome.
We're
going
to move you to major holidays only, Justin. Sorry.
Justin's the kind of guy, he could walk in my house, take a crap on my couch, and I'd still probably be all right with it.
I'm going to say Kim might have an issue with that, but generally, yeah.
She might. He was a lovely house guest. He's actually been here, did not take a crap on the couch.
He didn't crap in my car. No, so but
I will tell you this. He and I watched a new episode at the time of The Walking Dead while he was here. I've never seen a more focused TV watcher in my life. I felt like if I said anything, he'd go, shut up. Rewind it back so I can hear what it's totally into it, man. Focused 100%. All right, Cleo, speaking of focusing, how are we doing with points? Who won today?
We're doing pretty good. We had a couple of good – I got to give it to the chat room today. I came in and totally was like, guys, I overslept. I hope I didn't miss all the good stuff. And they told me that they had a – quote unquote, dumped the load early, so I was in trouble. But they did come up with quite a bit of funny stuff here towards the end, so I'm just going to rattle off that stuff. I did hear that Scott Johnson earned a point after Coverville said he had a mouthful of Ritter. You announced that, are you Joyce DeWitt or Suzanne Summers?
Yeah.
That deserves a little bit of a point there, sir.
A point I still kind of feel bad about it. Sorry, anybody with the kids in the backseat of the car, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
No, that was funny.
No, it gets worse. So sorry about the kids in the backseat of the car now, because I'm about to take it to a very, very bad
good.
Place.
All right, great.
Alrighty then. I thought when you were talking about the Thighmaster that was Brian's prison nickname. Anne had a couple of funny things today. When I was talking about how I'm having a hard time, I don't have any notes, guys. You guys got to get funny. Anne said, I've got no notes was my high school band name, which I thought was good.
That's pretty good.
When we were talking to Chinbeard, he said the Duran touch is a fantastic wrestling move.
The Duran touch?
Yep.
The Duran touch.
Drops a horse in a minute.
All right.
And, you know, I'm a little concerned about Bill. I think he's starting to wander down the slow, winding path toward making custom sex toys. But
I do too, actually.
Be careful, Bill.
I don't ever want to say it out loud, but I feel like that's the end game.
There's lots of silicone, and I'm concerned. Yeah. Jay Hammond C. won the whole thing today when you were talking to Jury. He said genetic shooter was his high school wrestling name.
Of course it was. Do not want to wrestle the genetic shooter. Carrie, have a fantastic week. Sleep in all you want. You've deserved it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Brian?
Very good. Yes.
Want to play a little tunage? Tomorrow, real quick. Nicole will be here tomorrow, and Tom will be here tomorrow. So stay tuned for that.
Is there anything tech to talk about with Tom? I mean,
seems like a slow week. Not a lot going on. No video games.
Hopefully we can find something.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll dig something up. Tom is pretty resourceful when he has to be.
Yes.
Something about BlackBerry. Who knows?
I'm sure that's going to be a yes.
Yeah, it'll be big. All right. What do you got?
All right. So if you did not like the middle of the show song, I think this one may be a little bit more your speed. It's funny. There are things I like about both songs, but neither one is fully set in the genre that I would listen to 24 hours a day. This one comes from Nate. Well, you can even tell right from his introduction. Hey there, Slayer and Bahamut. On June 8th, I will be turning 33 years old. The auspicious and alliterative date can only be celebrated one way. With face-melting, gut-busting, ear-splitting heavy metal, I would be thrilled to hear a cover of one of the greatest metal artists of all time, Ronnie James Dio. Specifically, the cover of Holy Diver by Killswitch Engage. Holy I leave it in Diver! Your capable hands.
Sorry, go ahead.
Despite the advice and pleas of my family, friends, coworkers, dry cleaners, butcher, and mechanic, I still love the show, though. Yours truly, Nate.
Oh.
Bahamut. What did I say?
Bahamut?
Bahamut.
Bahamut.
Bahamut. Bahamut.
No.
I'm very good. A little bit of screamo in here, but you know what? What the hell, right?
Yeah, why not? It's end of the show. You can quit. You can get out.
Exactly, if you don't like it.
Or skip ahead.
Killswitch Engage from their album As Daylight Dies. I have the special edition of that with the digital booklet, according to Amazon.com.
Fancy.
Came out in 2006. There's a cover of Dio's Holy Diver.
Fantastic. Well, between now and tomorrow, don't forget.
People will notice what you're smoking.
Absolutely. It's Holy Diver. It's Killswitch Engage. Brian, thanks for a fantastic day.
Yes, thank you, Scott Johnson. It
feels like a day. we'll be back tomorrow. Brand new show and another one on Thursday. So be there for that. We'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good one.
Park. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Taking a dump.